Very well. Madam Ambassador, Mr. Chair of the Committee, dear MPs, welcome to the Portuguese Parliament. Welcome to our Commission. Our Commission has the subjects of economy, infrastructures, housing, and also transports and communications. So it's one of the largest commissions here in the Portuguese Parliament. And normally our commissions are, well, not a copy, but they correspond to the organic of the government so that we can do part of our jobs, which is to fiscalize the actuation of the government, and we can do that with our correspondent ministers of the government. So in our commission, normally we host and fiscalize directly the Minister of Economy and another minister that has all the other subjects, so it's also a big minister. For us, it's a great honor to receive you here in the Portuguese Parliament. We are very keen and very keen and very proud of our Parliament and of our country, of course. The relations with Norway are old, are ancient, are peaceful, are of brotherhood. I know relatively well Norway also, have had the opportunity to visit your country. And I must say that for us, for the Portuguese, we always use the northern countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, as an example in some issues. Your organization, your social organization, that is a great concern in our country. We are having some transformations in our country. As you know, Portugal has been for centuries a whole wide country, a global country with a lot of emigration due to our history and our communities that are spread from Australia to the United States, everywhere. I normally say that everywhere you can find a Portuguese. There is normally a Portuguese in every country. But we keep with this emigration movement, mainly in these days, for the last years, from part of our youth that is high qualified and is emigrating for better salaries, mainly to European countries and England also, and Ireland. Ireland is a European country, of course. But these days, for the last years, we have always been an immigration country also, on the first level from our former colonies, then on the 90s from Eastern Europe, some countries like Ukraine. We have a considerable community of Ukrainians living in Portugal that came here in the 90s looking for jobs, so their sons are already Portuguese and born in Portugal. And of course, as a consequence of the terrible war provoked by the Russian invasion, we also have about 60,000 Ukrainians that came to Portugal looking for refuge, and they are most welcome. But we have also now experiencing a great challenge for our country in economical and social level with a very considerable immigration that is coming from our countries, mainly from Brazil. Is the biggest community living in Portugal now, and but also from different countries to work here, to look for a better life, from India, from Bangladesh, from Pakistan, and also from European countries, from the United States. Last year was the first community buying houses in Portugal to live here, so much more than the French or the British that was historically like that. And that is a huge challenge for us because of the social consequences, the housing, the transports, the economical size, which they are helping a lot. And to the questions that you wrote to us, that you were interested in talking to us, as the plans for the high speed trains, so we have a project, a huge project, to build a high-speed train connecting Lisbon-Porto, and on that second phase, Porto-Vigo, which is in Galicia. And the project also, we are implementing it, so it will enter on an execution phase connecting Lisbon to Madrid in high-speed trains. We're also investing in the railway in Portugal. That is a priority for us because we didn't invest for the last decades as we should. And we have also an anchor project, very important, which is the new Lisbon Airport on the south bank of the Tagus River. That should begin its works in 2 years. So we are on the phase of hearing about hearing the proposal. We're waiting for the proposal of the company that has the concession of the Portuguese airport to do that. But anyway, I think I should present our MPs and then give them the floor also, and you mainly, to ask all the questions that you wish to. So my name is Miguel Santos. I'm the chair. I'm from the Social Democrat Party, which should be more or less, well, it's the PP in Europe, and it's the these days is the ruling party in Portugal. On my right is João Torres. He represents his MP from the Socialist Party, which is now in the opposition. It's the second party in the parliament, and was in government until almost a year ago. And Albino Ramos, which represents the Liberals, and is the fourth party in the parliament. This is my advisor, Patricia. Marta Silva, which represents the party Chega, which is the third party in parliament. And Mr. Cavaleiro, which is my colleague in the Social Democrats, Mr. Paulo Muniz, which is my colleague in the Social Democrats, and Mr. Francisco Covelinhas Lopes, which is my colleague in the Social Democrats. There are other parties represented in Parliament. well, the left bloc, which has 5 seats now these days, and the party of the animals and nature, which has 1 seat, the communist Portuguese Communist Party, which has 5 seats. Estou a esquecer de algum? And the Livre, which is also a left-wing party, has 5 seats. And the most conservatives, the Popular Party, Center Democrat Social Party, it's a historical party, and has 2 seats in parliament and is in coalition with my party supporting the government. So this is the picture. Mr. Chair, Mr. Gjelsvik Sigbjorn.
Yeah.
Sigbjorn.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Santos, Chair, and also all of you, distinguished colleagues. It's great to be here. It's an honor for us to visit you here in the parliament and also have this meeting, and we look very forward to it. We are the Standing Committee on Transport and Communication in the Norwegian Parliament, so we are not dealing with all the issues that you are, but still, transport and communication is a very important issue. And in Norway, in Norway we don't have that many inhabitants. We are approximately half the population of Portugal. But we are a huge country in square meters. So, of course, transport, and we have a lot of fjords and a lot of mountains and so on. So, of course, transport and communication, it's very important in our country. A lot of people live all around the country. A lot of people also live on the western coast or in northern Norway. So it's very important to connect the different part of Norway together with roads, with railway, with airports. We have a lot of airports, different places in the country, and also ports. And I think it's very interesting to have this meeting and also our visit to Portugal, because I think we have something in common, and I also already have noticed that when we have met with in the cruise port and earlier today also this boat transport, we can see some cooperation between our countries on different issues. And of course, well, the ports are very important in Norway. We have this transition with the decarbonization and new technology, and also issues like how to handle the cruise traffic. Of course, it's very important, and also something that we want for the future, that people should come to Norway and visit us also as cruise passenger. But of course, it also could be some challenges. So I think that we have been here for approximately 1 day now, and already seen very much of your transport, your plans, and also had meetings. So perhaps also we should have a presentation of the committee here, and I can start with myself. My name, as you, I think you pronounced it very good. I'm yes. Impressed. It's not easy. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much. I'm chair of the committee. I represent the Center Party, which is in the center of the in the middle of the politics. And I represent the Akershus County, which is just outside Oslo. But I grew up in the on the western coast of Norway. And then I give the floor to Mr. Helleland, the second chair in the committee.
Hello, my name is Trond Helleland. I'm from outside Oslo. I grew up in the mountains between Oslo and Bergen, so but now I live only 45 kilometers from Oslo, and I've been in Parliament since 1997, so I'm a veteran from the Conservative Party. And I meet some of your colleagues when I go to the NATO PA, because I'm the Norwegian leader of the NATO PA delegation. We just elected the Portuguese president in the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, so that's good.
Hello, and nice to see you all, colleagues. My name is Marte Mjøs Persen, and I represent the Norwegian Labour Party, and I come from the west coast, the city of Bergen, in Norway. Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Liv Kari Eskeland, also from the Conservative Party and from the west coast of Norway.
My name is Erlend Larsen from the Conservative Party. I'm from the southeast coast of Norway.
Good day. My name is Maxim Guttormsen Roskov. I'm from a county in the northernmost part of Norway, Finnmark, and I'm represented by a Center Party.
Hello, my name is Geringe Lien, and I'm represent the Center Party, and I'm coming from the west northwest coast of Norway.
Hello, my name is André Angelstad from the Liberal Party.
My name is Jone Blikra, representing Labour Party, the same as the Socialist Party here, I think, and from the Telemark County, in the south of Norway.
Nice to see you, and thank you for having us. My name is Tom Einar Karlsson, also a Labour representative. I come from the county of Troms, just above the Arctic Circle, so my hometown is not very far from where the skrei and the bacalao is caught.
Very well. Well, we don't have a model. It's quite free for us. I was expecting to give the floor to my colleagues, and more than presentations, if they could give their view about the issues that you wrote to us. There is a consensus, not total, but there is a consensus about the challenges that the country faces, which are also an opportunity for our country, a huge opportunity. So, sou deputado João Torres. Sim, uma coisa, faz favor.
So, hello, welcome to the Portuguese Parliament. My name is João Torres. I am from Porto, which is my hometown, actually, and I'm...
I'm also from Porto.
Oh, yes, Miguel is also from Porto. We are neighbors. We are neighbors, in fact. But I am from the... I belong and I'm a member of the Socialist Party in Portugal, and probably you have already noticed that Portugal is the single country in the world where there is a social democratic party which is center-right. Nevertheless, we are friends, okay? but yes, it's something strange when it comes to discuss international or European affairs. I think that the most important thing I can share with you is that there is a strong consensus nowadays about the priorities when it comes to discuss connectivity in Portugal in a broader approach, but specifically about the construction of the new airport in Lisbon, which is something that we have discussed for 50 years, but finally we have a decision. And I think there was cooperation between the two parties to decide where should the future and the really necessary airport will be built. Also, we have now started high-velocity rail connection between Porto and Lisbon, and we have also plans to expansion to Vigo in Galicia, northern Spain, and also to Madrid. And I think that it was not easy in the last decade to reach a consensus about this, but I think that now we are in the right way, in the sense that we cooperate in the same direction when it comes to decide which are the main infrastructure investments that we must do or make as a country and as a state. Of course, that some issues are really difficult for us, because in my humble opinion, I think that there was generically a lack of public investment in the last two or even three decades in the railway system, which is now outdated, I would say. And there is now a strong investment in that field, which is so important to promote the double transition, the digital and green transition. And this is something really important for a country like Portugal, which is the first country that in the European Union decided to be neutral free for 2050. Portugal was the first country in the world to do that, and now we have anticipated to 2045. So we are strongly committed with the green transition. We have a really good mix of energy sources with a specific focus on eolic and also from waterfalls and from I am now not remembering the correct word. I'm sorry for that, but nevertheless I'm talking about green sources of energy, and this is something absolutely critical for our future. I know we share that with the most parties, I believe, in Norway. And just to finish, I would like also to greet you as a country for having had a Prime Minister, Stoltenberg, who played such an important role leading NATO as Secretary General in such a tough time.
MP Paulo Muniz, he comes from the Azores Island in the middle of the Atlantic. and from the Social Democrat Party. Paul Fashover.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Ambassador, Chair, dear colleagues. First of all, on behalf of PSD, to give the most and warmest welcome to our Parliament. I will give an overview of some of the issues and themes that we do believe that are common in our both committees. If some of them are on the border of other committees in your Parliament, I will ask you to forgive me for that. One of the things that, first of all, I would like to address is the question of the green transition, which, as you know, has different approaches on different areas. And we would like to address and to discuss with you and to hear from you about the mobility, the electrical vehicles, because we have known the recent news that Norway, for the first time, I think, the electrical vehicles are winning the battle against the traditional and conventional ones. On this route to achieve this objective, we are facing the threat of China. And that's something that in Europe, in our country also, is something very important to take in account, because we have some industries that are supplying the traditional automobile industry, and this can very well be one big issue to our economy, not forgetting that Auto Europa is one of the biggest companies from Volkswagen that is located in Portugal and has a huge economical impact if we have to change their contribute to our economy. So that's something that we are also taking in account, and we would like very much to hear from your experience on the changing in terms of the auto industry to the full or 100% electrical behavior. About the airport that my colleagues already have mentioned, this is probably the biggest infrastructure in the next 10 years. We are estimating from the last roughly budget something like 8.5 billion euros, and this is the biggest infrastructures that will serve all the country, and will continue to bring to Lisbon all the main flights from all the older colonies that we had in Africa, and also from Brazil, South America, and North America. So it is strategically to Portugal to keep this up, and this new airport, we have the aim that can continue to ensure that we still maintain this hub. Connected to this, we have on course, as a strategical option of this government, the privatization of TAP, which is a process that will start in soon as it will be possible, and is something that is absolutely connected with this and also will have a huge impact on our transport strategy and politics. We cannot have this new airport without connections, high-speed connections on the railway, so it is also connected to this project, the construction of a third bridge linking Lisbon to the south margin and specifically to connect the new airport to the old one and to this part of the city. So that's another infrastructure that we are putting a lot of effort. Also, I would like to mention that we are also considering that on the ships and all the ports management, we are introducing new technologies like artificial intelligence to run and to help us to be more productive and according and aligned to the green objectives that we are proceeding. Also, another thing that for us is very concerning is about the safety of the submarine cables, which I don't know if it is only the scope of your committee, but for us is very, very important. Portugal is receiving a lot of new submarine cables from the rest of the world. We are actually becoming a huge hub of the submarine cables, and we are very concerned about the safety and security issues that, as far as I could understand, also you have seen on the last attacks that have been occurring near to your shore. So that's another thing that we are thinking, we are studying, and we are concerning. And finally, the question of the energy. We are making a transition to the green electrical production based on the wind farms offshore, on geothermal energy. We have geothermal energy on the most beautiful part of Portugal, which is Azores Islands. I'm from Azores, I hope you understand. And we also using all this energy to make the transition between Portugal and Spain. But we still have a bottleneck, which is the connection to the European grid through France. This is an issue that is not solved yet, and it's very important for us because we cannot exchange all the excedent energy that we produce or even receive when we need. So that's the last thing that, in terms of infrastructures, we are very concerned about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. MP. And from the Liberals, Mr. MP Albino Ramos. Sr. Deputado, faz favor. Curtinho, por favor.
Certo.
Obrigado.
Thank you very much. Very welcome to be here with us today. My party is one of the most recent parties in Portugal. As João explained, we have two very similar parties that position themselves on the center-right. So normally the Liberals would be in the center, but because Portugal has its center shifted to the left, we would say maybe in the center-right in Portugal. I think I would like to address one of the biggest challenges I think that we have, more than the way we do the transitioning on the transportation. We need to be able to show the people that are using the transportation that it's not about the energy sources, it's about they arriving quicker to where they're going. So in Portugal, we have a big bias around public transportation because we aim to make it very cheap and affordable, but sometimes we lack the other part, which is to make it quick, frequent, and something that everyone will use because it will be the quickest way to arrive at a certain destination. This, I would say, is the biggest difference I see in the southern countries in Europe from the northern part of Europe, where it's taken for granted that by going on a public transportation, I will go fast, I will be comfortable, and I will have a lot of options all the time. So I think this is a big shift that we need to make, not only us, the politicians, in the messages that we deliver, but also our people, in order to understand that public transportation is not something that is meant for the poor people to use, but it's something that has to have a big social incentive for everyone independently of their social class. So I would say this is the biggest challenge that we have as a country. And again, thank you very much for being here today with us.
Thank you, Mr. MP Albino Ramos. Well, I should say that in the 90s, the country invested hugely on roads, on highways. So you can confirm that the country has top first-class roads connecting the main cities, highways. Most of the main cities are connected through our highways. So we abandoned for 20 years, and the last 10 years with no execution, the investment on the railways. That is the reason, because in the 90s, the banking credit created the possibility of each Portuguese to buy a car, each one. So the investment was on the roads, and now we must invest on the railways because there is a plan for the development of the country. These days, each Portuguese can buy a pass for 20 euros, which is valid throughout 1 month, and can travel by train throughout the country, not in Lisbon metropolitan area, not in Porto metropolitan area. They have other passes for that. But for 20 euros, for a month, they can travel throughout the country. I myself do it when I come from the north to the parliament in Lisbon. Sometimes I do it by train also. The airport is very important for us because we are on the gates of Europe. We have a privileged position with northern Brazil. Every European that wants to travel to northern Brazil must come to Lisbon, and from Lisbon he travels to north Brazil. So it's a primary position that we have, and we have connections with Africa and with the United States. What is happening with Americans in Portugal for the last 5 years is due to a plan from TAP that linked much many routes to the United States, to United States cities. Of course, we had routes to United States, but we invested on these routes. So it brings directly Americans to Portugal, and they come here as tourists, and they come here to buy houses and live here for part of the year, which is happening in considerable numbers and helps also our economy. So the airport is important because of that, and the railway connections are a link to all the countries. For example, the Porto airport in the north serves all the northern Portugal and part of the northern of Spain. So the Spanish from the north, they come to Porto to pick to get flights throughout Europe or anywhere in the world. This is one of the aspects. Then my colleague Paulo Muniz, of course, talked about the cables, the maritime cables. Now there is being built a new cable coming from Brazil to Africa and to Africa to Madeira Island, and from Madeira Island to the mainland Portugal, and which will be connected all to Europe, will distribute to Europe. So it's an asset, it's an economical asset, it's a communication instrument, it's a defense instrument also. It has several uses that we will profit of it. And to just to finish and to give you the floor, the electrical locomotion or vehicles. The country has invested for 20 years a lot in wind energy, yeah, and with eolic energy, wind energy. So in several parts of the country, we have a huge investment. We are producing energy from the wind and also from the dams. From the dams, we invested in several dams that is also producing energy. The thing is with the, as I evaluate, the thing is with the electric cars. Well, not a discussion if they are green or are not green. I think each one of us can have an opinion about it. I also have it. But on the economical basis, it is very difficult for the Portuguese families from the middle class to the class that has not so economical possibilities to buy a green an electrical car. They are European preferable. They are too expensive. They are still too expensive, and there is no market for secondhand electrical cars. So it's an economical effort to see if the European citizens are able to afford an electrical car. It is happening in Portugal, of course. You can see it as on the roads. So electrical cars, there are months the more electrical cars were sold in Portugal than combustion cars. So we are doing the same movement, but this is a concern, because not every Portuguese family has the economical capacity to buy an electrical car. So we must have a lot of railways and options for the mobility inside the country. So Mr. Sigbjorn, Mr. Chair, if you want to close the meeting. Paul. No. Please, Mr. MP, Mr. Chair Sigbjorn.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and it was really interesting to hear about very different political issues here and challenges, but also opportunities that you are facing. And a lot of these discussions we also have in the Norwegian Parliament, both inside our committee, but also in the more general political debate. And well, you raised the question about these submarine cables, and that's something that we are also very aware of in Norway and also concerned about. And our committee is responsible for electronic communication and electronic infrastructure. Before I became chair of this committee, I was together with Morten Mjøs Persen, member of the government, and I was minister for local government and regional development, for example, also for housing, as your committee, but also for electronic communication and infrastructure. And one decision that we made that was that one of the biggest companies responsible for this infrastructure should be subject to the Norwegian Security Act. And we are very aware of this situation. Of course, we are a country in the northwest corner of Europe. We have a long coastline. We have an energy sector. We also have cables going to Svalbard. And we have a neighbor in North Russia. So of course, this is something that we are very aware of, and also would like to discuss more with you, because this infrastructure is very important, to, as you say, to connect to another continent and to have communication. We are very interested in what you're doing and how you're facing this situation, both today and also for the future. And then it also was very interesting to hear your discussions and also plans for the future, and also this big plan for the new Lisbon airport, which we already have heard about, and the long debate that have ended for the plans. But still, it's a huge project also to finance and to build this this airport. So we look forward to also have more information about that and how you make such a big process, and also connected to other plans that you have for the high-speed railway and so on. So thank you so much for very interesting information, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the Lisbon airport, there was already a manifestation of intentions about from the from the company. It's an original French company that is managing, has a concession of the Portuguese airports. So we are waiting for a proposal for the building of the new Lisbon airport with some limitations that are already identified by the government, due to the value of the construction, the size of the airport, and also the cost of the airport. So the government will not put not a cent in the airport. Mm-hmm. It must be the company. They will have the concession of the airport for 30, 40 years. It depends on the proposal. And they must get the finance back from the taxes and the revenue that the airport will originate, which doesn't mean that the government and the state will not invest in the infrastructure around the airport, mainly the third bridge between in the Tagus, between the North Bank and the South Bank, and the railway. This is government, this is the state that will do that. Well, it's quite a challenge for the country. It is very important, as Paulo Muniz also said. We are on the process of privatization of the TAP, the National Aerial Transport also. And it's all linked, of course, because one of the things that we must guarantee is the connections to our communities in the world. So TAP is not just the National Air Transport from Portugal. It has this important issue because there are communities, Portuguese communities throughout the world spread, and they must guarantee the connections besides the hub and the connections for the rest of the world. Well, it was quite amazing. We'll go in 2 weeks. We'll go to Turkey. Turkey. We'll be having meetings with the chair of the same committees from the Turkish parliament, which was the minister that dealt with the construction of the new Istanbul airport. We'll have meetings with the government, and we'll visit the airport. Well, I know the airport, but we'll visit inside the airport with the company that manages the Turkish airport, and we'll have meetings also with Turkish Airlines to know more about their operation throughout the world. We're trying to learn with other countries that recently built new airports to face our challenge and to avoid mistakes and do the better way. So it was quite an honor to have you here. I hope we can visit you in Oslo. I already know Oslo, but I will be very pleased to visit you there in the parliament. And now I will propose that we go to the main stairs inside to have a family photo before ending our meeting. Okay?
Great. Mr. Chair. Thank you so much, and we look forward to see you, both you and every one of you in Oslo, if you're there, and to have contact for the future. And thanks a lot for the meeting.